Let us go to today's verses. It's from Mark chapter 3, 31 to 35. I'll read one verse and you follow. Verse 31. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Well, after you read these scriptures, have you come up with some question? The first one, maybe we should all understand. God's will is always the best. And that is probably everyone's wishes, that the path you are running is His will. Why? Because God's will is always full of wisdom. And also, God's will always bring in eternal value. That value can endure through time and history. And also, His will always enrich and change life, including yours and others. That's God's will. But that should bring another, the question is, why most of us don't know God's will? Why? And second question is, did you notice Jesus' response and attitude to his mother and brothers? Have you? He said, who are my mother and my brothers? Who is my mother? Young man, if you answer that, you take a risk to be grounded for a whole month, right? Who is my mother? Who are my mother and my brothers? I guess his brother will be very, very upset. Would that be a question to you? Why? What happened? So there are two questions. Why most people don't know God's will? And what happened to Jesus, that kind of attitude and response to mother and brothers? If you know the answer for these two questions, could you please raise your hand? Then I can rest my case. All right. So if we run into some question, it's very easy to find the answer, then the best way is go back to the Bible. So we would need to expand a little bit wider, that at the very beginning you may think this is irrelevant to what we're talking about. But allow me to go into the detail. From the Bible, we know man's composition with three components. The first one is body. You can see that. And second one is soul. And we need to discuss a little bit more about soul, so I'll go into further detail. Actually, soul, with the first one is mind, that you the thought and rationality coming from. And the second part in the soul is heart, that you got feelings and emotion. And the third one is will, that determination or action coming from. And the third one is our spirit. So we got three components. One is spirit and soul and body. And before and after Jesus come into people's heart, there will be changes. If Jesus does come into a person's heart, there will be changes before and after. And let us see why change and also what change. And we still go to the Bible. God's children who were born. Firstly, we would like to discuss before. What happened before Jesus come into our heart? Over here it said, God's children were born not of blood. Blood, it means natural. That is from our mind. and natural, or from the blood, that is the before Christ come into our heart. There is a song called My Way, sang by Frank Sinatra. Do you know that song? That song is describe a person is dying, and at that time start to try to remember his life in the past. And he, even dying, but he is so proud. He said, whatever I did it what? My way. And in the song, he said, I live a life that's full. I travel each and every highway. Well, regrets, I had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charter course, each careful step along the byway, and more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there are times, I'm sure you know, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall and did it my way. Can you see? This is a person coming from the blood. Everything is my way. My great idea, my plan, my point of view, my ideal. I don't mean that people should not have plan, but within your plan, there is nothing Jesus got involved. Then how could you see if there is any God's guidance? Because I'm so focused on my own plan, then you will not see the very best from our Lord. You will not know God's will. And you know what? That take time. When the time's due, then you look back what happened. And most of the time, at the very beginning, you thought it's a good plan. It's a big plan. It's a flawless plan. But until the end, and you turn your head back, you felt that you were tired, exhausted, and even hurting you. I got a friend, he raised his children by his own way. And he's a smart one. Actually, he worked in IBM. And when he was about 40 years old, he already won more than 100 patents. This is a very remarkable engineer. So he planned everything. Very, very successful. But he raised his children. And one of the eldest daughter, she got into a Harvard medical school, got her degree, and later opened her own clinic. Very successful. And everybody seems very envy about the daughter. But one of the brothers said, because in the church, we never seen her, his daughter. So we started ask, has your daughter ever visited you? And we can see his head kind of started coming down. And then another sister said, did she ever call you? It was quiet. A big plan, a huge plan. It looked like a successful plan, but what the result? Not even call him. Do you want to go through a great plan and at the very end, and then with lots of regret? Because he didn't include Jesus in the plan. You know what? The last very word from Frank Sinatra, before he died, he said, I am losing it. That's he said. You did it your way? You are losing it. A person, if coming only from blood, but natural way, because I think this should be the way. And God's children not from the will of the flesh. The flesh is the lust. My own taste, my preference. I like it or I don't like it. Just because my flesh feels that way. Totally according to my flesh feels. Maybe I can point out to you, do you have that tendency? If you got more than one child, would you take favorism? You love this more and this less? Because I like it this way. I don't like that way. When you look at the picture, especially in the group, and you say, this picture is good. Why? Because inside the picture, you look good. So the whole picture look good. If this picture, you don't look good because the wind blow your hair, this picture is no good. And when you watch the show, when your kids playing together with other children, oh, this show is no good. Why? Well, you should know. Even furthermore, I have learned, heard so much about our young people. See, they too don't get along. They said no chemistry. The reason why? Well, I don't like she talks. I don't like the way she dress. That's a reason I don't like it. Or I don't like her attitude. Or the way she showed off. She tried to show her family position, even show off her boyfriend. I don't like that way. So we don't have chemistry. Let the flesh lead you. Ironically, one of the girls even go to a mission trip. Go far away to show love to people. Does it make sense? That the two, you got the same culture, you got the same education system, you got the same race, and you cannot love each other and care about each other and know chemistry, and then you go far away, say you're going to love somebody that's quite different from you. Would that be a joke? What kind of love? That love is just from your flesh. Nothing love. A person run the life controlled by her or his own flesh. Remember, heartbreaking always start with, I like it. I love it. Do you know that? Because it's from fresh. God's children, not from the will of men. That means ego, your will. A person with ego always loves to run the show with his own, or her own power, her own influence. Just like a movie. That guy is the writer, also the conductor, producer, director, actor, singer, promoter, everyone. That person carry everything. And anyone against his will, he will be pissed off. So you can hear a lot of young men say, he pissed me off, pissed me off, pissed me off. That is your ego coming out. Would you like to piss again? Don't let me hear that from your mouth, okay? That's ego. It seems like a person like to drive a bulldozer, crushing everything on his way and run over everyone along its path. It's a self-centered. It's a very selfish person. If you've got more power and more power, you can become a dictator. Everything is all about I, my, me. That's ego. And that is before Jesus come into a person's life. That is a real picture. That you do everything by the blood, by the flesh, and by your own will. It's a natural person. It's a flesh, a person with flesh and ego. And through this, we call, the Bible call, a carnal person. Born by parents, interacted with siblings, taught by teachers, influenced by peers, impacted by society, saturated by culture. And this is a carnal person. But the Bible told us these are not born from God. So those three categories, by blood, by flesh, by the will, that form a carnal person. But God's children are born of God. And that's what we can call spiritual person. A spiritual person. So we will see again. We want to focus on soul. Over there is mind, heart, and will. Before Jesus come into our life, who is the leader? The body is a leader. Body gonna lead your soul, and your soul gonna lead your spirit. So your spirit become the lowest priority, almost no function. But after Jesus come into our life, there can be changes. The Holy Spirit will go into you, and then the Holy Spirit will gonna lead your spirit. And if you follow the spiritual rule, allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen and let your spirit, your own spirit, grow and become mature, then your spirit will be able to take the role of leadership to lead your soul and then the body. So the order will be totally different. So, before you allow Jesus to come into your life, how many persons inside you? Only one. That is me. That's called carnal person. But when Jesus come into your life, how many persons inside you? Then there will be two. Two persons. And in the Bible, it called old self. That is before Jesus come into your life. But after Jesus, the Holy Spirit come into you, then that start to form a new person. So you got old self and new self. And I need to prove to you, I didn't invent this theory, but the Bible said that. But you know what that make a difference is this. Before Christ come into you, only one self, old self, you are doing fine. You feel good. But once the new person coming in, the old self and new self, they don't get along. You will experience they are always quarrel, they always fight. And that is the first sign that you should be sure whether Jesus come into your life, you were saved. If you still live a very peaceful life, no problem inside, no argument inside, I need to tell you, Jesus didn't come into your life. But if that happened, you should know and you should thank God that he comes in my life. So we will go into the Bible to show you there are two self. One is old self and one is new self. If anyone is in Christ, that means Christ in you. He is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So this should be the status of a Christian. If Christ come into you, then you no longer a new, you don't no longer the old person. You should become a new creation because there is a new self inside you. And the old has gone. That means the old self should go away. That's a proclamation, should go away. And the new has come, so the new should start to run your life. And how a Christian life look like? Galatians said, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Which part of I? Old self, right? My old self has been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. That I is who? That is old self no longer live. But what? But Christ live in me. Christ live in me. That Christ live in me become what? My new self. So new self live in me. And then you can experience the life, the new life, the new self. I live in the body. That new self live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You start to experience. And all the, we look back then, we'll see whatever the old self has done or not do or do, doesn't matter, should be all totally in vain in front of Jesus. And Paul used this as neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. That means the old self, either you do or you don't do, doesn't matter, doesn't make any difference. No value in front of Jesus. What counts? The real issue is what? A new creation. That means whatever counts is the old, the new self. That is a spiritual person. And how old self become less and new self become greater. This is try to teach us. Verse 21 said, we need to hear of him, hear of Jesus, also taught in him and with the truth. That is why so very, very important that you need to come to worship. You need to listen to the message. You need to read Bible and prayer and serve in the church. Is try to help you to grow the old, the new self. Then you will see, after you were taught, that means you will grow and become more and more mature in Christ. Then you will see the really changes coming. That means you can put off your old self. You can take off your old self. No longer let the old self run your life. But remember here, you cannot try your way to take off the old self until the new self start to grow and grow stronger and stronger and mature. Then you will be able to take off the old self, which is that old self which was corrupted by its deceitful desires. Deceitful desires. And what happened to the new self? It was made new in the attitude of your mind and to put on new self. That new self is created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. So if you continue to allow your new self to receive God's word, prayer, and serve, then the new self will grow and grow and grow stronger and stronger enough to take off the old self. Otherwise, it will remain the same. Maybe some people heard that your friend said you accept Jesus, but I don't see any changes. That's the reason, because your new self didn't grow. And then, when church, brothers and sisters, we get together. You see, a problem between brothers and sisters coming from what or from where? Because brother and sister, if we come together, we fellowship together, we let our old self fellowship each other. We'll get into trouble. We come to the church to fellowship is fellowship in new self. That's the way. Otherwise, we would not take off our old self. And we need to put new self. So we fellowship in Christ with our new self. Then we can proclaim this, a trust saying, trustworthy saying, say, if we die with him, which part die with him? Old self. If we, our old self, die with him, then we will also live with him. Which part live with him? The new self. See, if you experience that, you start to experience that my old self becomes less and less, and that new self becomes stronger and stronger, you have the confidence that I'm truly saved. I am sure the salvation is in me. It's not something theory. And then we should know from the very beginning how spiritual person came from. He, that means Jesus, saved us, not because of righteous thing we had done. Those righteous thing we had done is done by whom? Done by old self. Whatever the old self try your best to do means nothing for salvation. But because of his mercy, his grace calling us, his salvation helping us, not we do anything. So we all we need to do is just receive. Say, yes, Jesus, I need you. I cannot do anything valuable for spiritual issue. And he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That means everything, not from you. The rebirth from God, the rebirth from above, the rebirth from outside, not from inside. Look, the whole world religion, whatever ism, whatever theory, they all do this. They all do is try to do the work on old self. They change old self, modify the old self, adjust the old self. Whatever work is do on old self. Because there's no new self for them. That's how you distinguish religion and life. And Jesus says, no, I don't need you to change yourself. I will come into you and I live the life for you. He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that is coming from God, coming from above, coming from outside, not from inside. So you need to all receive the Holy Spirit come into you. Okay, try to give you a brief illustration. Then we need to go in to answer the question we have brought up. Why we don't know the will of God? Why? Because this carnal person is so strong. The carnal person wants to run the life. So we don't see God's will. And then, next one, we'll try to answer the question about the attitude or the response Jesus to Mary. So we will focus on Mary. Yes, we know Mary has experienced a huge, no human being ever experienced that from God. That what? The Holy Spirit come upon her, and the power of the Most High overshadow her, and the Holy One to be born from her womb. No Christian ever got this experience. This is probably the biggest, the greatest, right? But even with that kind of experience or testimony, let us see what happened from God's view. When Jesus was 12 years old, his parents went to Jerusalem as custom. So they took Jesus together. And then they went into Jerusalem, and they had finished all the ceremony, and then they took off. They walked one day. And because so many people went to Jerusalem, so people left. It's a huge crowd. But they walk one day, And during that end of the day, in the evening, maybe they're ready to for a dinner. And Joseph, you know, bought some McDonald's, and they start to share the Coca-Cola, and they say, "Ooh, where's Jesus?" And they say, "Wow, they couldn't find Jesus. They walk one day." So see, parents can do this, huh? And they found that the next day they walk back. So they took one day walk over there, and then took one day back there. And when they got back to Jerusalem, also it was dark. So wait until the third day. And then they went looking for him, and they found him in the temple. And he sat there among teachers and listened to them and asking them questions. And everyone amazed Jesus' answer. And you know what? Mary, let's look into Mary. She found Jesus, and she came to Jesus and said, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." That's Mary's response. Is that a natural way? I bet you, right? But what Jesus' response? "Why were you searching for me?" Hey, don't try this, young man. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Jesus answered this way. See, Mary bring up her concern is only from a natural person. Nothing to do with spiritual issue at all. Her heart is pouring out. She showed a feeling. Say, "Why have you treated us like that?" And also show the will. "We were anxious searching for you. We could continue. If we cannot find you today, we'll continue to find you. That's our will." But the Bible says, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Their ration, their mind, they don't understand. But one thing good is, Mary treasured all these things in her heart. See, I don't know, but I treasure what the Bible said. I may not know exactly, but I treasure. Instead of using the carnal way to reject. But look at Mary, with such a huge experience, testimony. But once he really ran into spiritual issue, she cannot do anything. And we knew that 30 years later, okay, I should roll back a little bit. Something big happened to Mary. See, after 12 years, at the time that Jesus went into temple, 12 years, see, huge miracle or God's doing in your life, 12 years later, it became nothing. You see that? Doesn't really guarantee your spiritual will grow. No guarantee for that. All right. Then this one is when Jesus was 30 years old. That means even after 30 years. And they went into a wedding in Canaan, a festival. And very soon, the wine was gone. And Jesus' mother came to Jesus and said, "They have no wine." And Jesus said, "You can go to Walmart." But Jesus responds, "Say, woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." See, Mary using her carnal way to ask Jesus. And Jesus said, "Woman, why do you involve me? I got nothing to do with you." A carnal person and a spiritual person. It's different. They have different worldview, different value. And then last time we talked about when Jesus tried to help people to heal them in the ministry, and because so busy that Jesus couldn't have meal. And his family heard about this, they went and to take charge of him, and they said he is out of his mind. Do they care about Jesus? They do. Do they love him? They do. what the answer, what the response from Jesus. So a carnal person, even everything you try to do at your best, good intention, right motive, but may mean nothing. But one thing we will see, when Jesus, after his resurrection, and then ascending to the heaven, and what happened? Then all those people went, saw him ascending to heaven, they returned to Jerusalem from the hill, and they all went together with those disciples, all go to upstairs of Mark's house, and they did one thing together. This is so precious. I need you to really look into this. They all joined together constantly in what? Prayer. Along with the woman who? Mary, the mother of Jesus, and whom? With his brothers. Until now, their eyes start to open. They start to see spiritual reality. Even the mother experienced such a huge miracle. But until then, they pray. They pray to whom? Jesus. In the past, they even want to take charge of him. What do you think about yourself? Do you want to take charge of your future? You want to take charge even about Jesus? But that make a difference, big difference. So we will make it short. We don't know God's mind. Our carnal person cannot understand, comprehend God's mind. Because God himself said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Try to grasp this and as a condition when you're seeking Lord's will. And how about God's heart? Let us read together, verse 17. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Can you really understand God's love? Over here, you never really understand God's heart, because his love surpasses all the knowledge. And we need to take this seriously. And then, the last one, God's will. "For he says to Moses," God said to Moses, "say, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." That means I determine only by my will. "It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy." So don't come to me and say, "I know God's will," only from you, because you think that he should do this way. You never know unless you humble yourself and ask mercy that he will show to you. Verse 18 says, "Therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden." Hopefully today's message bring to you is this. You need to recognize how huge your carnal person that control yourself. And try to learn from the Lord. Say, "Lord, whether you really grow in me and become mature, so I may learn your mind, your heart, and your will. Instead, I became your obstacle, block your way. Your will been obstructed by me." Let us go to him in prayer. Lord, we lift up everyone to you, including myself. We always think that we can do. Our plan is the best. Lord, have mercy upon us. Give us the humility to be humble in front of you and ask you and begging you, Lord, if you would, could you please show your mind, your heart, your will, your plan to me so we may follow you. In Jesus' name we pray.